The Anton Savage Show with Kiries.ie on News Talk.
My next guest has recently finished sixth in a race in the British Touring Car Championship in Donington Park. Now, you might say, well, sixth is a good, solid result. It is well inside the top 10, nudging at podiums. But why is this so significant? The reason it is so significant is because at the time at which he started driving racing cars, nobody with the disability that he had ever, as far as I know, managed to get a racing driving license in the UK, nor had they gotten anywhere near the kind of top flight at tin top racing that he is now doing. He is, of course, the brother of Lewis Hamilton, which we can come to later. He's written the book, Now That I Have Your Attention, Seven Lessons in Leading a Life Bigger Than They Expect. He's Nicholas Hamilton. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Congratulations on the sixth place in Donington.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, what a hell of a day it was. A day that I'll never forget, that's for sure.
And what a track to do it on. Donington is one of the world's greats. That drop into the Cranor Curves is just to die for.
It is indeed, especially in the weather that we had as well. Super, super slippery, one mistake, and you're in the wall. So, it was sort of knife-edge stuff. But, Donington Park is a great circuit and, really grateful to get the result.
Now, I talked about how unexpected it was that you would be in a position to get that kind of result. I'm right in saying at the point that when you went for your license, the norm was that you would sit the medical and you would then be blocked from holding a racing license.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I have cerebral palsy, spastic diplegia, so it's not normal seen as normal for someone like me to enter, motorsport. And so I think usually it takes, 2 weeks for an able-bodied person to get their license. And for me, it took 2 months to get my license. But I sort of understand, the Motorsport Association, they had to make a few amendments and try and figure out, how sort of disabled I was. Because, I guess they initially thought that I could have potentially been a danger to myself and others. I think the way I was treated was quite hard for me to take in initially. When you grow up and you have more experience, more maturity, you can understand why you're treated a little bit differently, especially when it comes to motorsport. From now on, I'm treated like everybody else and I get my license with no questions asked.
And you are the first person with a disability like yours to have made it anywhere near the kind of level in British motorsport that you've made.
Yeah, I was the first disabled athlete ever to compete in the British Touring Car Championship. Continue to create history in the sport. My first race was in 2015. And then I got my first points finish in 2020. And then, my top six result last year. And just continue to move forward and really show what you can do with a disability. Once motorsport give you a little bit of a helping hand so that I can have, some modifications that are needed to the car, et cetera, that, disabled people are strong enough, fast enough to race against able-bodied people in an able-bodied sport.
Can I ask you one thing about the choice to go into top-level domestic motorsport? Because one of the things that you, by doing that, you of necessity are in the public eye. You're going to be grist at the mill for social media. You're going to get all of that kind of stuff. One of the things you write about in the book is the kind of challenges you had from bullying and from abuse growing up. There's an instance where you describe somebody in school being ha-ha funny at the time at which you were using a wheelchair, where they tipped you onto your back and deserted you, so that you were unable to move until somebody came by and lifted the chair back up. How come that didn't cause you to say, I just don't want to be dealing with that kind of obnoxiousness and viciousness ever again?
It's a very good question. I think, at that time of me being bullied physically, I was at school, I was a 16-year-old boy, I didn't really know where my life was going to go at that point in time. But I think when I got the opportunity to race, that completely changed my mindset. I became super strong in trying to train myself as an able-bodied person. Because I'll be racing against able-bodied people, and so I got strong, I got fit. I was out of my wheelchair by the time I was going on 17. And I think I guess, you know, having the opportunity to race was my dream. It was something that I always wanted to do, never thought I could do. And I guess I wasn't actually expecting the level of attention that I received, you know, when I finally got into motorsport at 19. I don't think I was prepared for the potential online bullying that I would get, or trolling, or whatever. So I was naive going into motorsport on that sense. But
and does it impact you? Does it affect you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, bullying is you know, can be seen in so many different ways and perspectives. And I believe, you know, bullying cuts deep. It doesn't matter your age. And I think a lot of experiences that you experience as a child can actually carry on all the way through to your adult life. And, you know, especially these days, you know, social media is actually a very toxic place if people use it in the wrong way. And it can affect so many people in really detrimental ways. So, yeah, it's been an interesting, you know, journey, that's for sure. But you can't have one without the other. You know, you can't have some level of publicity, you know, without getting some sort of negativity somewhere.
Now, what about the other challenge, which is of all of the sports that you could have decided you were going to go into and get to the top level of, why pick the one where your brother is the greatest that has ever lived?
Well, I mean, obviously, I was born at a race circuit. You know, I was always at a race circuit. I eat, sleep, breathe motorsport, and it was our like family activity. Let's say every weekend we were away racing with Lewis. So I think it was just natural for me to want to have the desire to race. And obviously at the time, you know, he wasn't who he is today. You know, but I guess I just fell in love with motorsport, and that's all I knew and that's all I wanted to do. And you know, at the end of the day, I was never trying to compete against Lewis. I never wanted to you know, be seen as this amazing racing driver. For me, it was more a personal achievement, because, you know, I was born and told I would never walk, and if I was, it would be potentially with a stick. And then I went through a wheelchair phase, I was bullied, and then all of a sudden ended up in a race car. And I think for me it was just a personal achievement, really. And yeah, I haven't done too bad.
Well, on that note, one of the things that the book, as I said, the book is Seven Lessons in Leading a Life Bigger Than They Expect. And at the end of every chapter, you sort of distill out things that you learned from either the challenges or achievements that are detailed in that chapter. If somebody is in the same kind of position that you were in when you were 8 or 10 or 12, and they or their folks are listening to you now talk about your experience, what is it that you would say to them? What is it that you would hope the impact the book would have on them?
So, you know, my book is it's my life. It's my life through my experiences. It doesn't mean I know absolutely everything. But firstly, I want to give parents of children, both disabled, able-bodied, you know, hope that firstly, if you have a disabled child, you know, it's not the end of the road. There is so much that your child can do and have a fruitful life. But also that, you know, if you have an able-bodied child, you know, they're not alone with different feelings and thoughts that they have, and still the parents have to be supportive regardless. And a lot of the strength comes from the parents, because if the parents, you know, are a little bit weak and feel a bit nervous, which is absolutely normal, you know, it can affect the child. And I just want to show parents, able-bodied people, disabled people, people that are 16 like I was, wanting a girlfriend or want to be a part of society, I want to prove to people, show people that, look, that, you know, I had the same sort of thoughts. I had the same sort of feelings. This is what I did that helped. It doesn't necessarily mean that my direction is exactly the correct one and will work for you. But the whole point of the book is, this is what worked for me. And if you can take something from it and add it to your life and it helps it improve, then great.
Nick, thanks very much for your time this morning, and congratulations both on the Donington result and on the book. The book is entitled Now That I Have Your Attention, Seven Lessons in Leading a Life Better Than They Expect, and the author is Nicholas Hamilton.
The Anton Savage Show with Kieries.ie on News Talk.